You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Rikari Austin, and I'm one of the hosts of GCX 2022. Now, we want you to join us at Rosen Shingle Creek in Orlando, Florida, as we come together for another unforgettable GCX. Tickets are going fast, and look, we want to see you, so visit gcxevent.com/tickets to book now.
Hey. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Broman Podcast 148. I am joined this week by Lagundo, an absolutely incredible broadcaster who is doing some, I'm losing my voice right now. the folks are listening, he's doing some amazing stuff on stream. And he sits at a very interesting intersection of being a broadcaster and entertainer and like professional coder from what I've seen. I don't know. You might not want to own that, but hi, how are you doing?
I'll take like, yeah, sure. That works. I mean, that's what I did before this. You made me sound so much more interesting than I actually am. I'm
you
just
are
like...
that interesting. You know, that's how interesting you are.
I don't take compliments well. So yeah. Hi, how are you doing, everybody? I'm your new internet dad. It's me.
That's new internet dad. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
So, okay, so your internet dad, are you also a dad?
I am. Father to two amazing girls. They're 4 and 2 years old. I think like this happens because of it. But at the same time, it's like I joke a lot. Best thing that's ever happened to me in my life. And my wife gets mad about that sometimes, but I do, like, it's true. she'll say the same thing too. But no, yeah, been kicking it for almost 5 years now. Their birthday's kind of almost literally overrode mine, so that's funny.
Oh, that's always a good time.
Well, so my birthday is on the 22nd. Their birthdays are the 13th and the 19th of same month. All of us are within 9 days of each other. So when the first one was born, it's like, well, my birthday's gone. The second one was due on my birthday. It's like, ooh, now it's really gone. And then she showed up a couple days early, thankfully.
Yeah, right? Like you does. It's impossible to handle stacked birthdays. Like, how do you prioritize who gets presents? It's like, you know, people who have the Christmas birthday. It's like, might as well.
Anybody after Thanksgiving, gone. Just celebrate it in July. Just give up and celebrate it in July. That's the best advice I can give.
I was going to say, that's incredible internet dad advice. So clearly, like, this is as advertised.
To some degree.
So you're a broadcaster. You're a streamer. You stream on Twitch.
Yes.
And you make YouTube videos.
I do.
But my big question is, sorry, this is such a wind up for such a normal question. I'm feeling goofy today. When did you get started making content?
2004? Maybe 2005? What's 19 years ago now?
Oh my god, yeah, that would be 2003.
Yeah, I very much
19 years.
I used to say it's like, oh, I've been doing this for 15 years, and then it has to click of, oh wait, no. My first video that I ever made, and this is something that when I was in the pre-interview screening, I had that moment of generational knowledge that I was not prepared to have that conversation. Right. And they're probably laughing behind the camera right now.
Yeah.
I said one of my first videos were uploaded to sites like Newgrounds. And
oh,
they're like, what's
wow.
Newgrounds?
You are. Man,
and I
just...
had a moment.
I know what Newgrounds is.
I was not prepared.
I have so many other questions now, so I'm just gonna. I think this journey through your career is gonna be fascinating. So, like, what inspired you? Because at that point, not only like we're going back in history, right? So, not only is like streaming and YouTube that's like not a career, barely
doesn't
a
exist.
Thing yet, doesn't exist.
Yeah,
it's like you know, it's in cyberpunk novels. It's jokes at this point. Mm-hmm. Are what our current jobs are.
Yeah.
So what inspired you to go, okay, I want to make something and put it up on Newgrounds, which is like, you know, you go there for flash art and games.
Yeah, and there were the occasional videos like the things that you see now, Ultimate Showdown of Ultimate Destiny, right?
Yeah.
Like that was the number one thing on that site for so long, and I can maybe remember like 2/3 of that song. I don't know. It's been a while.
I'm already impressed.
Yeah. I started actually in writing. I would do, it was horrible writing. I've gone back and looked at it. I'm like, what am I thinking? I still have some of the binders with like the 3-punch paper that I would just write in school. Like I would do my homework and then I would write and I would just make stories up. I would make up games. I can't tell you how many like card game, like, and it was like, here's the obvious Yu-Gi-Oh knockoff. Here's the obvious Pokemon knockoff.
Oh
like,
man, we all did that.
We all did that, right?
All did that.
But that's where I started is I started in making those things and they turned to writing. And about the time when I really started getting online, about like 13, 14 years old, was the forums generation where there was no Reddit. There was no Facebook, there wasn't YouTube. It wasn't a centralized site. It was, you found a forum with 30 people who cares about this one topic intrinsically.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if we lost them.
I think we're still good.
Okay. But yeah, you found a site, you found a forum that they cared about 30 people intrinsic, like 30 people, this topic, everything. And I would write different like fan fictions and stories on a bunch of these different sites, and I was under like a couple different names, and I got a PC that could do flash animation, and I got a camera that could record digitally, and I figured out that if you really reduce the quality of the video that got recorded from, you know, HD 480p, right? High quality stuff, if you bring it down enough, you could just upload that as a video somewhere. And everything was animated at the time. I'm like, oh, I wonder if people would like this. And I'd upload some videos that were like hand-drawn animations over some basic video stuff. And the first videos was like to Newgrounds and Google Video. And then 6-8 months later, this site called YouTube launched. And I was at the time obsessed with Red versus Blue. Season 1 had just come out. Rooster Teeth was just becoming a thing. I wanted to do that. I want to do this. This is what I want to do. And like you said, those careers don't exist. Yeah. It's like, I make videos on the internet. It's like, you do what now? We don't know about that. What are you talking about? Like,
how do you make money?
Yeah. How do you make money? Yeah. That doesn't make any sense. How do you do anything on the internet? The internet is, this is back when nobody trusted the internet. So like the internet's definitely full of scams, like nothing. YouTube, you can't trust anything.
YouTube was like only like ripped episodes of The Simpsons and Family Guy and like it was like Pirate Central.
Yeah. You know? Or it's like 30-second clips that people would upload to share with their family. And because it's like, oh, this is just the neat, silly video site. That's it.
Yeah. It's like the old Google Drive. Like, I'll just throw it on YouTube so the kids can watch it.
Yeah. Because Google Drive didn't exist for another like 8 years.
Nope, absolutely did not exist. Rooster Teeth also inspired me to start making content too. So that's, I just thought that was cool.
Yeah. So I was just one person doing all of that. And I say 19 years, right?
Yeah.
The first like 14 of those are pretty lackluster, like realistically speaking. So it was a lot of, oh, let me try this, and I'll do it for like 6 months. And it's like, oh, this isn't working. Well, what if I go do this? And then I'll do it for six months, and then I'll, oh, that isn't working. Well, what if I go make this? So like some of my old YouTube channels, that some have just been lost to history. Like accounts are gone, they're deleted or whatever. It was so all over the place. It's like a Halo series right next to some live action skits right next to reviewing Minecraft mods back in the day, and it was all over the place.
Yeah.
And like you said, Rooster Teeth, it's like, that's the dream. Like, oh, I want to be the next them, or the next College Humor, or the next, and it's like, okay, some of those names are still around.
Some.
Yeah.
So you got inspired, and it sounds like you just sort of did it as an extension of what you were already enjoying. Like with the writing, and you're like, oh, well, this just makes sense. This is like the natural next step is to try to create a little bit more. You spent a lot of time experimenting with like different formats, different styles, and like trying to nail down what it was that you wanted to do.
Yeah.
So that's what it sounded like to me. So my question is, what was different about what made everything click? When did you feel like, oh, this is working? Like, this is it.
Funny enough, it was Halo 5 launched, and okay. I had some other things happen in life, and I'm like, okay, it's time for a fresh start. Let's give this another go. I made a brand new channel, redid everything, started from zero. And I started making daily videos in Halo 5 because it was a game that I really enjoyed. I'm really passionate about it. I love the community surrounding it, even when it can get frustrating sometimes. And I play that game, and I was very then kind of on mission. It's like, I got to get a video done for this day. And I went a year and like 8 months with daily uploads to the channel. And then I had, unfortunately, my grandfather passed away. Mm. And that's what killed it. But then at the same time, we were expecting our first child. So it was this huge moment. And then Destiny's coming around. Let's start playing into this a little bit more. That was the angle I thought I was going to go. I was going to be another person who is moderately good at shooters and can sneak some jokes in here or there. And it's not just gamer face staring at the monitor for the whole video. It's like, this is what I can do. I can entertain people with this.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so much changed. And Halo 5 started to go kind of in winding down. And then 2020 happened.
Mm.
I don't know how much we want to talk about. Like, 2020 was 2020.
Yeah.
And I needed a game that I could turn off from all of the stress and just sit there and chill. And I went back to an old staple of mine where I just loaded up a new hardcore world in Minecraft, and I just started telling a story with it in a format that like others had popularized. It was a kind of thing. And funny enough, the video that made me what I am today was going to be my last YouTube video ever. I'm like, I'm going to put...
Shut up.
I'm going to put all of this work in.
That is so cool.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to put all the work in. I'm going to do a final big send off, and then I'm just going to say goodbye to it and focus on other things and just try to get through the day. I'm like, this is going to be it. And I put the video out, and it was like, I think about 2 months after the video picked up, and it had done okay. Like, it had done about where I expected. 2 months after the video picked up, I was at 18,000 subscribers on YouTube after like 5 years. And then all of a sudden the algorithm is like, this one, go.
Okay.
And the algorithm picked up, and the video went from like 10,000 to 100,000 to a million views in like 6 days.
Whoa.
And I went from 18,000 subscribers to 180,000 subscribers in 6 days out of nowhere. Completely out of nowhere.
Wow.
And I've been playing catch up since.
That is intense.
I've been playing catch up since. I've literally been three steps behind that wave for the last almost 2 years.
So what was that pivot like? Obviously, like, you were ready to let go. You did, dude, like 2 months later, right?
Yeah.
So like what happened in your life where you were like, I need to reorient? Like,
so
how did you manage that? That feels like such a whirlwind.
I did the video, and I'm like, this is gonna be my last one. And then like everybody says, oh yeah, this is my last one, I promise. This is the last time I'll do anything like this. Mm-hmm. And I kept playing in the world, and I'm recording it because, you know, well, what if I make it to 200? Like, okay, I can make another video. That'd be cool. Some people liked it. And then, yeah, I was like 90% of the way done when that video just blew up out of nowhere. And I'm like, well, okay, maybe I really should do this, because this is nice. Like, this is cool that the work is being seen by people. And a lot of people were saying, it's like, oh, the storytelling was nice, and it was good to have a video that people weren't just screaming all the time.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, it was, oh, this is a chill video. I could watch this. I can just kind of relax with this going. So I made the next one, and then I made the next one. And it's like, okay, this is kind of going well. Why don't I stream in the world and like let people connect with people directly? I knew how the tech worked. I had streamed years ago playing Halo
right
all the time. I'm like, let's stream this. And my second stream back to Twitch. Oh, I'm in my hardcore world. I'm doing all the things. My second stream back, I died.
Oh, no.
And in a hardcore world, you die, it's gone.
Yeah, that's awful.
Is gone.
That's awful.
And that was January 20th of last year. That date is burned into my mind. The sound that I made when I died is now my subscriber sound. Because I had to lean into it. It's like,
yeah.
I have to lean into it. But we started with the second world the same day. Like, it took an hour or so. Everybody was grieving. I can show you the video clip of I texted my wife and I'm like, I died in the hardcore world. And this is where I'm three videos in. They're the only three videos I've ever made that are in like the millions of views. I have no idea what to do and anything of that. And it's like, okay, that world is now gone. What do I do?
Yeah,
and I started, and it's just like, we go again. We go again. And the world we built since then is 10 times as long. We've been live for an IRL year. It's entirely been live streamed. And the community that we've built around it has been like, I don't know what I've done to deserve this. It's weird.
First of all, just like props. I've lost hardcore saves in games, and the idea of like just taking an hour and then getting back at it, I don't know how you did that. So if you feel like you needed something to tell you deserved it, I think that's it at minimum. And then so talk a little bit. I'm curious about, you know, what is the storytelling style that you developed in these worlds? You know, how, if somebody's tuning into your stream, what do they expect?
Huh, that's almost two separate questions, actually, which is kind of weird.
That would be awesome. I'd love to hear both answers.
Okay, so I'll give the straightforward answer. If somebody tunes into my stream, they're getting this. Like, I don't play a character. I try to be on my higher energy, like every streamer does, right? We're the most excited version of ourselves. But we're just talking. Like, I have people come in and it's like, I just have you on in the background. I'm doing my homework or something like that. And I've had people be like, what are you talking about? She's not going to tell you to do your homework. And then I yell at them to do their homework.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, do your homework.
Yeah. It's like, do your homework, go to bed, self-care, none of that. Nah, go away. Like, I've timed people out. It's like, no, you need to go to sleep. It's too late. Your time zone. Just go to bed. But it's that, like, we've started because everything's been streamed. It's cliche almost to say it's our world that we built, but a lot of the things I've designed has also come from community input. So it's, we'll put something together. It's like, do we like this? Is this good? Nah. Okay. And we tear it down and we do something different. And I've done that. I've completely demoed builds. It's like, this wasn't good. Let's start again. Not big ones. At some point I commit.
Right. I was like, this man is hardcore in Minecraft. He's like, I built this skyscraper, but...
No, at some point I commit. Once it's over, like, two stories tall, I'm like, no, we're locked in. It's got to set. but like, some smaller stuff, we definitely, like, disassembled and redone. And that's been fun. And then when we got to about the 1,000-day mark, and it went rolled over to four digits, and it's like, okay, this is now long enough that there's a story around it. And when I released the 1,000 days video is when I told everyone that this had become my full-time job. Like, this is what I did. I loved my job that I did before this. I was working at a great company. I had a great team. And I walked into my boss one day and I'm like, look, I love it here. I quit. I have no idea how to process this. So I'm just going to say it. I have to take this opportunity. Yeah. And they were amazingly supportive. We had like a company all hands where they shouted out my YouTube channel and I just wanted to die under the
desk.
I couldn't do it. And when I went live for the stream, when the 1,000 days video went live and that announced, there are people that I knew from work who were in the chat and they popped in from time to time and I still keep in touch with a ton of them. And it's always great to see them. But in that moment, I was just like, no,
no,
no.
Not real people.
Like, no, I've seen your face. I've seen you in like meat space. We can't know. You can't know me
space.
Here.
Meat space. Yeah, I like meat space. The meatverse.
Yeah, it's like you can't know me here. I just realized that meatverse and metaverse are exactly two letters off from each other.
Yeah, that's what made me say it. I was like, it's close. Like, it's fun.
I don't know if that's comforting or really, really upsetting.
It means that we've been in the metaverse all along.
Oh, no, Zuck.
It's okay. Thanks, Zuck. Really appreciated how my food tasted today.
Can you push out some patch notes? That would be wonderful. Yeah. Like, I can give some feedback as a tester here.
Give me some. I'd love food to be free. If we could just arrange food, yeah, at a shelter.
And if you could make knees like work forever instead of giving out at about 30, that would be
long-term
wonderful.
Knee. Long-term like, knee use.
Yeah, it's like, why does the human body break down at 40? Like it's raw. It's so bad.
It's a raw deal. So
it is.
So talking a little bit about the storytelling and the way that you do things on your channel. You have an overlay system that took over 3,000 lines of code to execute. And oh, I, you know, I've done, or well, I not personally hired folks to do some custom dev work for my stream way back during the Destiny 1 days. And it's mm-hmm. one, like, not simple. And two, it can be incredibly frustrating. So I'm really curious. You know, for the folks that aren't aware, I'd love to know more about your Minecraft overlay and how you managed to just pull that off.
Yeah. Well, I think something that probably helps in Destiny versus Minecraft is mm-hmm. Minecraft is probably the most open source multi-million dollar like IP that exists. The source code can be decompiled and mm-hmm. there exists open source frameworks to modify the game. Which is huge. Like something like that, to access the source code for Destiny, you'd have Bungie knocking down your door,
yeah.
right? Titans would be smashing in, galleys would be loaded, they'd be on upset. You, right? There's nothing. Meanwhile, Mojang's like, here you go. Here's the yeah. code. Here's Enjoy. A snapshot every week where we beta test the features. Because there's such an amazing modding community around Minecraft, there's a bunch of different APIs that you can modify the game, either just server side, you can actually modify your clients, you can tweak things and do all sorts of stuff. It's just, what can you think of that would work differently? And you, having been in this game as just a person in the background for so long, like, and because that's how I feel, even to now, to some degree, my stream looked like, realistically speaking, almost everybody's stream looks the same. Like you have a webcam.
Oh, you're not wrong.
You have a webcam with a border around it that probably has a logo on it, and you have a mm-hmm. gameplay in the background, and then mm-hmm. some semblance of alerts and notifications and texts for whatever is important at that time.
Yep.
And I'm like, it's great. It's the way we've had it for forever. Can it be different? And if so, mm-hmm. how can we make it be different? And because I knew how to mod the game and because I knew what information I could pull out of it and I knew and wanted to know kind of how to tweak OBS, because I've been getting a lot into like the automations that you can do with things like Leorn Board, StreamerBot, all sorts of different plugins that you can do. I watch a ton of channels. My buddy Epos Vox does a bunch of videos on how to make your streams better. Mm-hmm. And the thing everybody always pushes about streams is you need to innovate in order to stand out.
Yes.
You need to do something that nobody else has done in order to cut through the crowd and become a voice, not noise. So I'm like, nobody's done this before. I wonder how long this could take. Month and a half later. Month and a half later of first just like figuring it out and then figuring out how to get the info from game to OBS and to have them talk to each other in a way that latency was basically zero, because
yeah.
it needs to be instant for the effect to work. Because if you do something and then 30 seconds later something shows up on stream, it's not connected. It
doesn't correlate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So between doing that and then making all the video files and having all the logic wired up, it is held together with duct tape and dreams right now, but it's working. It is working. And it was something to set myself apart. And that's how this happened. That's how this conversation happened. And
truly.
Yeah. And it is, and after the fact, something I didn't even think about at the time is there's almost an accessibility element to it, because you can look at my stream and it's kind of like when you're watching a sporting event, right?
Right.
There's always the little scoreboard at the bottom that tells you not only what's happening in the moment, which is what you see on screen, but a snapshot of where things are for the last X amount of time, right? For a sporting event, you'll see the score for the whole game, right? If you're watching the Olympics, you'll see that person's score as they're going through their routine or anything else along those lines. And my thought is, well, why can't a stream have that? Why can't a stream have an at a glance, this is what's going on? And you see it in esports, but you don't see it anywhere else. Let's make that.
That's so fascinating. And I totally agree. The other really, maybe it's a side effect of the innovation that you've driven, is that a lot of, with the rise of vertical video. Wow. I really ate that one. With the rise of vertical video, and that, like, the prevalence of mobile devices and things like that, we're seeing people want to watch stuff on mute, like having, like, on TikTok, like, there's a reason they built the captions feature in there. Yes, it's an accessibility thing, but it also means that your audio content doesn't have to be audio content. And so, like, I think that everything that you've built also, like, it gives that at a glance, but it does it passively, right? I think for Twitch, chat is always used to coming in and being like, hey, streamer, what's going on today? Hey, which playthrough is this? What soul level are you? Hey, like, whatever, you know, they have their, that, like, so everyone's filling each other in, and that's awesome. But on game launches or during, like, highly competitive moments or whatever's happening, sometimes that can just flood the chat and take over. And then it doesn't, for me, I run a really, like, a community channel, right? Like, I want everyone to be able to talk. I don't want everyone to feel like they're a secretary answering the same question.
Yeah.
You know,
or have Nightbot every 10 seconds spamming the same message, right?
I've done that before.
Yeah.
So I think that that's really brilliant. My question is, do you think, and, like, you know, obviously, like, this is an innovation talk, so if you're like, oh, I'm working on that, totally, we could go somewhere else. But I'm really curious, what do you see as becoming possible with this at a glance idea for streaming that isn't sports or esports, right? Like, that's really easy data to bring in. But if you're running, like, a community stream, or if you're running, you know, like, a just chatting stream or something like that, like, how does that translate into an at a glance?
Yeah,
like for a viewer.
How do you avoid the same question 30 times in chat?
Right.
One thing that's really prevalent for me is, what day is it in the hardcore world? Because it's like, in Minecraft days, how long are we still alive? And that's not always on the stream, but I have a channel point redemption. And it's cheap. It's like 50 channel points. You get 100 or so by joining the stream. So you can just check. So you just click this button and a little bit of text animates in. It's like, it is day 2319.
Oh.
And then it swipes out. So the stream is clean without always having to have all these labels on all the time. Ditto for what song's playing. Like, I've seen you have the always on kind of ticker on some streams, which is fine. Totally fine. I love the minimalist approach that I've taken, that I can have as little on screen as possible.
I was going to say, it's really not fine, and I don't like it. It's like super not, it's not my preference. I like clean stuff as well.
Yeah. So I have a same thing, same channel point reward, super cheap, and the song will come in with the channel art as with, like, the album cover, so you can see what it is, and then swipe back out. So you get the info you need at a glance. People don't need to ask the question. And like you said, nobody needs to feel like the secretary to answer it. The stream can answer it, and you ask with a button click. And that lets the conversation in chat be whatever we're talking about at the time. So if it's like, what are we working on? Or something like that. Same thing, like, what's the project? You click a button, the little bit of text pops up on screen. Here's what we're building. It's mostly right, because I am very like, ooh, shiny. and I just go off in a random direction. Like, yeah. I am very easily distracted. So it's about, it's right 60% of the time.
Yeah, close enough.
Yeah, it's like, here's what I'm supposed to be doing today. But instead, I'm over here doing something completely different. Remind me to update it, and then I'll go update it. But then it's that. It's letting the conversation be what we're talking about, or let it move forward. And it prevents that kind of cyclical restart that you get that doesn't let a that doesn't let a stream get past the surface level information.
Ooh, that was no, man, I really like the way that you said that, right? Like, it's this, it's because there are some questions and it's like it restarts chat. And if you've been streaming for a while, like, you can, it's like you could just say it before they say it. Like, what game is this? Elden Ring, playthrough number 2, intellect spec. Like, I, and you can just, like, you know, like, the conversation, and then it's like the guy that's been there all day, like, holy shit, this again. Like,
there's a little bit of that, right? Like,
yeah, sometimes it happens.
So instead, we're able to have legit conversations and nothing gets overread. And I always know when people are just popping into the stream, because somebody will pop in. I won't see a message from them, but it's so-and-so redeemed. What's the day? It's like, okay, they're checking in. And now they're going to start talking, and then they start talking, and then it's like, okay, I have the info. I am up to date. Now we can join the chat. So
that is,
it's nice.
Brilliant. So what I, to go back to just being alive in hardcore Minecraft for so long, like, I have definitely dabbled in hardcore Minecraft on my stream. My longest, I think I made it through like 5 full streaming days. So, you know, nothing like maybe 40 hours in, nothing compared to your like thousands.
It's about 800 hours, I think, at this point in the world.
So what, like, what tips, like, how, like, I just like how and like
how,
what?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so, I always get impatient. So I'm just like really curious, what's the secret sauce, man?
So part of it is like having so many different things that I could be building. Like, I have like 3 or 4 projects at any point in time. We can go do this, we can go do this, we can go do this, chat picks. And then I'm focusing almost as much as talking with them. The conversation is what makes it different. I could never do this off stream. No. Oh, God. I'd lose my mind just sitting there just talking to myself quietly. I'd probably start talking to myself at some point. But having them to talk is huge to it. But another thing, and this is something that my community is now just starting to figure out, that since the first video in Series 2, I decided I was going to do something different. So I've been hiding ARG clues in my videos for the last year, including forming my own language that I've now built in the world that people are now starting to click, and some of it's starting to come to the forefront now. There's like something on my community SNP that I know one person has found, but they haven't figured out what to do to it yet, that will take them to an entirely separate server that I've been building in the background that they can access other things that are like on the background of my world. So knowing I have that story I want to tell, and if I die, it's over. And it's just like, well, I guess we're never going to figure out what happened there. And I'll just start with the next one.
Oh, my God. This is like high stakes D&D DMing. Like,
I
wrote this character and I wrote this story arc. But if you like, if you kill this gnome in the first encounter, I guess, like, fuck me.
Yeah,
like,
you'll never see it. Shit. You'll never see it. If you never turn east, you will never see it. You never asked what color the moon was. I'm sorry. It looks like the big bad winds, like that kind of thing.
Oh my God.
You mentioned D&D. I love
I'm
it.
Like, so I'm sitting, nervous.
I'm sitting here futzing with some of the dice that I make, right? Like, you can see, you've seen them in my hand. So this is like my stress ball. So it's that. It's the stakes are there, and I know it's like, okay, if I mess up, it's all gone. So I'm on my game, and whenever I'm in the world, I'm like, okay, we're doing something cool. Like right now, I'm building this huge pirate bay that they took over an ancient city, and they call it one thing, but it used to be called something else. And if my stream can ever figure out what the old name of this place that I am in is, it unlocks XYZ puzzles in this spreadsheet that I've already released and they haven't found yet. And it's like, I can't wait for the day when somebody finally like finds this one piece of information that there's literally something, and here, tell you what, I'll do an exclusive spoiler in this one. There is something in a video that I released, my 100 days in a random mods video. I picked mods by a random number generator and a dice roll. Okay. Right. And it got cursed fast. Like Among Us characters, Squid Game dolls. I was shooting them with a gun that was powered by pumpkins. It was weird really quickly. Right. That part was all random. Mm. There was an element in the video that looks random when you look at it, but it wasn't. And that is the cipher to something else that they have recently found. And if they figure out to put those two things together, like, it unlocks a whole nother thing. Like, that's the kind of stuff, going back to the storytelling and being a forever DM, like, 8 years now in one D&D world. I'm kind of building things from my D&D world, too, so that helps a lot. It's like, oh, I can visualize the things I want to make. I really hope people find it one day.
this is some next level stuff. Like,
I hope people
people talk about like investing in your stream all the time, and I think usually when people talk, we're talking about finance or we're talking about time. Mm. But like I don't know if I've ever had a guest on the podcast where the idea of investing in ideas and investing in the future of a channel has been so apparent and like really wonderfully done. Like to compare it to, you know, my experience when Destiny releases an ARG, or like you can just say Bungie, right? Whenever they've put an ARG in a game or something like that, it out indexes any other kind of social interaction they can have, right? When the Destiny community was trying to solve the whatever the Forge puzzle was that went on like over 24 hours.
Black Armory Vault. That was amazing. And then it turned out it was Butterfly, and they just made one of the clues way too complicated.
Yeah. It was like stand on trees and shoot Butterfly. That was the... Yeah. So like,
that's the kind of stuff that I wanted to make.
and then you just did it. That's the thing, is like being... So everyone also talks about like investing in your community, right? Like make your community feel valuable, give your community ownership, and that's how you build community. And here you are like just one man ARG deving like this whole experience for your community that they may or may not even like get to enjoy, but they will.
I hope. I really do. I can't say one person though. Like, I have an amazing, and his brother is literally the person behind the camera right now, but I have an amazing editor and partner in everything that I've done. He does like music for all of this. He's done an amazing amount of sound design for a lot of what we've been doing. And my mod team, the Guardians, they've done so much to help build some of this stuff out in the Minecraft world. And we do it in a way that they can still kind of play. Like, they help me build a thing, but they have no idea where it's going to be. So they can still kind of play and participate. But I can't claim to... I don't even want to allude to the fact that I've done it solo, because it's not possible.
Massive team effort.
It has been. There's like five or six of us who have been kind of working on this, all to different degrees, but it's been this major effort to get certain elements of it in place and ready. And like, I'm scrambling to get something done because there was a goal for the subathon that I'm doing that I never expected we'd hit. And it's like, oh no, we're going to hit that. And it's like, oh no, this video is not ready. What are we going to do? How do I finish it?
So what is, we talked about it a little bit earlier, but, well, I'm going to share my awful, subathon story. And then I have questions about your advice for people doing subathons. So
yeah,
I had a sub incentive right before I moved into this house. I wanted to do like a community thank you. And I was like, oh, you know what would be fun? Like a little community art project. I'll take everybody's name. I'll like emboss it or laser engrave it on something. And I'll just put it up on the wall, right? Like it'll be like the size of this painting or that painting that people could see. But then like everybody decided that they wanted to be on this art piece. And so I ended up having to print like, I I think I had to buy. It ended up being 92 square feet of dog tags with five person's name on every dog tag. And so I had hyped it up, right? And these things show up in the bag and it's got everybody's name, but the thing weighs like 35 pounds. And my wife and I start laying these out on our kitchen table, right? Like, okay, do. And I start doing the math as the surface area is adding up. And I'm like, this is not gonna fit in a frame. And this I was like, this wall. Can't fit in a frame. Like, this is gonna have to be my whole wall. What am I gonna do? Nail this on the wall and like, or try to fit it in some other art piece? So yeah, like I got them all made, but I could never figure out the solution to getting all that square footage like on camera and like delivering on all my promises. So I kept my jar of names in my office for like 7 years, and now it's like downstairs, another part of my house. But that is my absolutely unhinged sub mistake story. So you are currently in a subathon.
Yes.
With your community.
Yes.
How's that going?
Well, it's day 8. I have enough time to make it to day 9, and they told me that I shouldn't make plans for Friday.
Excellent.
So no support has been weaponized.
Yeah.
It's funny. I initially started it and I thought it's like, oh, this will run the weekend. It's like, oh, it'll run 4 days. And then, but I told everybody from the very beginning, and this is something that I even think my community kind of appreciated to some degree. And I was telling you this story right before we started.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, y'all, we're going to do this. I'm not going to put a cap on it, but April 1st, I'm getting on a plane and I'm going on vacation with my wife and kids. Like, there is no way I am streaming from that for multiple reasons. So here's the plan. Like, if we get to that, we'll add some time to the clock as a thank you for being accepting from me being away for 10 days, and then we'll restart. And then I restarted the timer on Monday at noon, and we had 18 hours on the clock.
Yeah.
And at noon today, we had 21 hours on the clock.
Solid.
So we've spent 24 and we've gained 3. Wow. And it's been ridiculous to the point where I'm starting to talk to them about like, yo, maybe we might not be able to do uncapped forever. Like, there are other things I need to do.
Yeah. There's so life.
I think if you're thinking an uncapped subathon, just be prepared for your community to show up. And because I was like, we're going to do this at a celebration in 1 year as Twitch partner. Mm. I think it'll be fun. It'll be great. We'll do it 3-4 days. It'll be fine. It'll be great. And now we're on, like I said, day 8 and it's still running. And it's like, uncapped might not need to be able to be uncapped for too much longer.
So you said one year as a Twitch partner?
Yes.
I'm trying to figure out how to put this together. Like, the length of your career, which is like older than some people who are enjoying Twitch.
It's older than some of the people who watch my channel.
Well, yeah.
Which baffles so, my mind, know, from time to time.
18 years of making content before making Twitch partner.
Uh-huh.
That is like so much dedication. Like, it's hard for me to process that.
I can't say I was like consistent with it for the 18 years, right? Like, Twitch, I think my current Twitch account is only maybe 4 years old. Okay. And I streamed for maybe a year or so when Halo 5 first came out, and then stepped away from it. But I was still doing videos because YouTube ad revenue, Twitch ad revenue, like, and the amount of people who'd watch a YouTube video versus the amount of people who'd tune into a Twitch stream. Like, I had 15 people who would watch me back then who were there for almost every stream. And we'd talk, and it was like, this is a really small circle of people. We had a blast, but we're also all on Discord and we're talking all the time. And we just play Halo together. And it's like,
yeah,
well, let's just play Halo and get rid of the pretense of like, I'm streaming and this is somehow different. Like, so we just did that. And I just played with them for the longest time. And kind of, like I said, stepped away from streaming and then restarted October, November-ish of 2020. And then hit Twitch partner in March of 2021. So
that is so cool. Your whole story is like, so I want to read the book is how I feel right now. What advice would you have based off of all of your years of like being in the space, right? I think we don't talk about how valuable it is. Like, there's a difference between enjoying content for 18 years and like making stuff, even if it's intermittently 19 years. Sorry. 19.
I'm not going to call you on that.
Oh, I know
fine.
You're not.
It's
I was
for
just
forever.
Like...
just say forever. Just call me ancient like most of my Twitch chat. It's fine.
Since our bones are almost dust.
Yes.
What advice do you have for people who are getting started now that you feel like, what's been the evergreen piece of advice? That's what I'm looking for, right? Like something that you told yourself in the beginning that you still tell yourself now. It's held true for that long. Like, do you have any advice like that?
There's probably two things I would say. The first thing that I've started saying a lot more recently is streaming is easy, but being a streamer is hard. Because anyone can click the go live button. And the people who psych themselves out as like, no, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need alerts, I need a layout that's just like this person that I've seen, and I need a 4K camera and a Go XLR and the best microphone on the planet.
Yeah.
you don't need any of that. You grab the toothbrush microphone that you have, don't use a webcam unless you're fully comfortable with it. Get your 10 FPS Minecraft game running and you hit that start streaming button, because you will learn so much. From streaming to no one for a while, or streaming to your three best friends for a while. And that will teach you the most important thing that you need to learn about doing this. Like, everybody who's like, I'm going to start streaming and I'm going to hit partner in 3 months, is like, from somebody who's taken the scenic route to get there. and it might be possible. It might entirely be possible. There are people who explode from people they know, or hitting the right trend at the right time, or being amazing at a game. What I'm saying is not true for everybody. But unless you are part of that like fractional percent of people who has something extremely unique, streaming is easy and everybody can stream, and you need to start doing it if you want to do it, because you need to learn from your own mistakes. Not mine, not yours, right? Like, we made our own mistakes. But being a streamer as a job is terrifying.
It's
terrifying. I work way longer now than when I worked in an office. I'm putting in like 12, 16 hour days, easy.
Yeah.
But the work I do is far more fulfilling, and the stories I get, or like I get a card, like somebody sends just a thank you card to my PO box. I cried. I legit just full on cried on camera. I'm getting teary now thinking about it.
Yeah.
They sent me just a little thank you card to my PO box, and I just opened it up and I read it on stream, like on the last day of the subathon before going on vacation. I just broke down. They broke me. I was done. Mm. I was just blubbering, ugly cry mess. It was the worst. But it was so cool. But having your life and livelihood dictated by an attention-based economy is terrifying.
I completely agree. Yeah. I think it's something that's taken a long time for me to come to terms with. Like, I enjoyed like some pretty moderate success when I started streaming. I managed to make partner pretty quickly, and I lived in a part of the country where like it didn't cost me very much to live. So I got to go full time, right? Like, I was like, okay, I needed to make, like, I remember I had the like number in my head. I just needed to make like $1,400 a month, and that was doing better than my other job. And I was like, sweet. So, that worked out, and I started streaming full time. But, you know, going from there, and then Destiny coming out, and like, it felt like a rocket ship. And I felt like I didn't know what was happening until it was over. And I was like, I guess the ride's done, or different now, right? Like, but that whole experience, it's very, you're always out there, right? The thing you said when you're talking about getting set up and like, don't use a webcam unless you're comfortable, right? Like that, that's something for me recently that's like, I never noticed the camera was on me for a really long time until one day I was like, oh, that camera's like on. And I'm talking like this was very recent where I sort of had this, like, I guess it was like an emotional experience of really realizing like I've spent this much time in my life on camera with other people watching. And it is, there are small things like that. And I realize that's my experience, but like being a streamer, that part is hard, right? Mm. Being out there, like you have no idea what's coming at you emotionally. Sometimes you can get hit by things in left field. I mean, shit, I don't know how many personal crises I've had over my experience of streaming, like that just pop off during stream.
Yeah.
And you're like, I have to deal with this.
I was like, this somehow is happening. I gotta go.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
or
I don't know. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
I was gonna say, or like, you know, coming back to stream after there's been a crisis, right? And there's the, I think that another really difficult thing for me as a broadcaster was learning, like, where do I draw the line on the amount of access to personal information people get about me? And I don't mean like my address. I mean, like, there are some decisions that you might not realize that you're making along the way in your content. Or like, do I want to talk about my family? Mm-hmm. Do I want to talk about my past, like other jobs, other employment I've had? Because there are, like, it's all information that will eventually be out there forever. And if you're, you know, like the two of us, and you're not playing a character, it becomes part of the persona that people identify you with, right? Like, I have people coming in from 7 years ago. They're like, hey, are you the guy that still does this? And I was like, whoo, not for a long time.
You mentioned that. Like, I made a conscious choice in the last 2 years to be more family friendly with my content after becoming a dad. Because if my kids sell my stuff.
Yeah.
I want them to be able to watch it, and I want them to be able to watch like the videos I make with me and my friends. And they put my videos on from time to time and just chilled and like sat. And like the other day, one of my friends uploaded his video, and I know he's also more family friendly content creator. So she just sat there and watched it. It's Minecraft. She has no idea. It's pretty colors. Like, it's moving.
Yeah.
And she asked me what's going on. She's getting to the age where I might be playing with her at some point, like in the next couple months. Hmm. But then you go back and look at videos for me from 6-8 years ago, I was playing Halo. I'm 24, 25. Oh yeah. Yeah. I did not care. Right. I'm cursing left and right. Like, I was just shooting shit with my friends. Right. Like that's it. But now it's like a conscious, like I'm almost in dad mode when I'm on camera. Right. Because especially doing this for so long, you can probably pick out videos where you could watch me grow up and lose my hair in real time. Like, it's like, okay, around 24, that's where this part started. And around 26, that's where it started to really go bad. And 33, he finally decided to just shave it off and gave up. And declared victory. Like, I think I'm in control again.
My biggest regret is streaming when I had hair, making any content when I still had hair.
Yeah. Cause
I had it for like a year and then it was gone.
Yeah.
And I was like, sometimes so people go like, hey, I found this old picture of you with hair. It looks terrifying. And I was like, yes, that's one of the reasons why I'm bald.
Yeah. There's so to show a small funny story about my online life crossing over with my real life and to go back to D&D for a second.
Yeah.
I still have a D&D game with people I worked at my previous job that we still meet like every couple weeks, every 1-2 weeks. I've been neglecting them to some degree right now because I've been streaming 24/7. Found an old video of mine and took a screenshot of my face and printed it on a shirt as we have this big climactic battle. And right after they killed the bad guy, he stands up, he unzips his hoodie and he goes, yes! And my derpy looking 20-year-old face is right here on his chest. And I'm like, I just stand up and applaud him. I'm like, you earned that. That was beautiful. I hate you and you will pay.
Ah, yes. Don't anger the
But
DM.
it was so good. It's and to have moments like that be possible is
yeah.
is weird. It's weird.
It is. Yeah. It's everything you make stays on the internet forever. And it means that it feels more real than when I was first told that, right? In like 1999. Mm-hmm. Be careful online.
Yeah.
And like, now
your
it's
MySpace
like
MySpace page will go on your permanent record.
It's oh like, man, bro. No. And yeah, like, yeah, of course it was MySpace, right? Holy cow. I love that. Yes.
Oh man.
Yeah, we're getting close to wrapping up here.
Okay.
So I guess as we come to the close, I already got your very sage advice. I totally agree. Get started because you'll learn so much mm-hmm. from just starting. But this is the point in the show where if you have anything you want to advertise, any projects you're working on, anything you've got going on at all that you want people to tune in or listen to, the floor is yours.
Oh man, okay. Oh no.
Oh yeah, lots of pressure.
Pressure. So like I said, I have my stream that I normally stream every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday night from 8 p.m. to midnight Eastern. I stream occasionally during the day. Depending on when this podcast goes out, I might still be live.
Probably will be.
Probably. I don't know.
Yeah. It'll be tomorrow, so you'll probably still
oh,
be
Oh, it's
live.
Tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Tomorrow
so then
or
I'm
a couple of days. Or Thursday,
Thursday.
Sorry.
So I'm
it'll be live Thursday. Yeah.
I'm probably. When this goes out, come say hi to me on twitch.tv/Lagundo, and I'll still probably be there. I'm like most of the time anymore, but I also release videos on YouTube under the username Lagundo as well. I'm on Twitter and Instagram, Lagundo, all the things on like I branding. I got the name everywhere that I care about. I'm set. Right. Like every time a new social media pops up, log in, grab my username, never touch it again. I just can't, but I have it now. So I'm on Lagundo on all. I'm at Lagundo on all the things. If you'd liked anything you heard today, come check it out, or come check out the cool things I have on stream, and then be like, "Oh, okay, cool, that's neat," and go make your own things, and that'll be cool too. So
I just to add a vouch, if you are a broadcaster and you are looking for an innovative, cutting edge way to use all of the tools that are kind of available to you as broadcast right now, I cannot recommend Lagundo's stream enough. I was truly impressed doing my research. From a production standpoint and an innovation standpoint, you're definitely leading the pack from my experience. So I think if you're a broadcaster, this is a guy you should be paying attention to. You should like, you're going to learn a lot just by watching. So that way when you go do your shit, you'll have answers.
Go copy
to the
my stuff and make it better. Like that's totally fine. Like,
that's how it all got started, right?
Yeah, like start innovating from there. I said in the video I'm not gonna release the code because it is bad, but like I hope somebody makes it. I hope somebody else makes it and makes a better version of it. And yeah, go do your own things, but stop by and say hello first. That I'd appreciate that. That'd be good.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely stop by and say hello and learn some stuff. Thank you for tuning in today, everybody. Lagundo, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
This is a wonderful conversation. If you're listening, please, you can rate or you can comment or any of that subscribe stuff that you want to do. But what's more important to me is that if you were listening to this today and it made you think of somebody in your life and you're like, oh, wow, like I really should share it with this person. They'd love this. Please do that right now because that's way more important to me. We want to share all of this awesome wisdom with everyone. So from myself and from Lagundo, thank you for tuning in and goodbye. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.